No power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. His wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you. I enjoyed that. The love of Christ constraineth us, right? We thus judge and died for all, then all were dead, and if they which live must not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Amen. That's fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke this morning. And while you're turning there, I wanted to read just a note that was we received. Brother Charlie Scott, he spoke for me while I was gone, spoke on Wednesday. He says, "Dear Pastor Goodwin and IBC family, it was a blessing and encouragement to be at your church last evening. Donna and I were encouraged to see new faces and such a good attendance in the Wednesday service. Thank you for your opportunity to preach and minister for the church, to the church. Thank you for the generous love gift. Sincerely yours in Christ, Brother Charlie Scott." And he's a good friend. I thank the Lord for men like that, who he pastored for a number of years, 30 years, and reached a point where the Lord was calling him to do something different. He's continuing to be extremely active in the ministry, encouraging and preaching, and that's really a blessing. Luke chapter 4 this morning, interesting passage. You know, if you've been saved for a number of years, shared your faith at all with other people, invited very many people to church at all, no doubt you've probably had people tell you, "Well, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God on the lake," right? I worship God. Yeah, I just worship Him on the golf course. After all, God made the golf course, and I don't have to be in a building to worship God. Truth be told, there are many people who see very little point in going to church. Some, a lot of people go to church because they just go through the motions. That's just what we do, you know. There are some churches today who have church on the sign, but for all intents and purposes, it's a social club. And it's more about connecting with other people and committees and groups and cliques than it is about God and His Word. There are some folks who attend occasionally or weekly, or C&E, Christmas and Easter. They would probably ask when challenged, "Why should I go every week? Why should I try to make it to all the services? What's the point? I don't want to be a fanatic. That's kind of out of control, don't you think?" The scripture passage in Luke, though, has some things to say about this, and I just wanted to take a few minutes this morning to consider what the Bible has to say about the importance of church in the believer's life. Not just going through the motions, But developing a love for God, developing a love for His Word, developing a love for His people, and a love for His work. And how does the local church fit into those things? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it does. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we'll begin reading. It says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as his custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captives, and recoverance of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. So He's reading from the Old Testament a prophecy about Himself to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon Him. Jesus' example here, you can see, it says, as His custom was, He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship. He made it a habit to be in His place with the people of God weekly for the time of worship. He wasn't just going through the motions. He was there for a purpose. And I want to bring out three purposes this morning from this passage in Scripture, and just emphasize to us the importance of church, so that when we come, it is for the right reasons and we understand the necessity of this local place, why God has instituted the local church. I want to preach to you a message going through the motions this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Help us as we seek to understand. I pray, dear Lord, that You would just help us to submit to Your Word and what it says, that we would take it as truth. Change us, dear Lord. Edify us, challenge us, convict us, teach us. In Your name I pray. Amen. The first reason why you and I ought to embrace, ought to be in a local church as faithfully as we can, is because the church is the place of God's Word. It is the place of God's Word. Notice what Jesus Christ did. It says He was there and He opened the Word of God. As His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. What did He read, Pastor? Did He read a psychology book or the newspaper? No. He wrote God's Word. Read God's Word. See, Christ read from the Scriptures. This is the only book, Christian, this is the only book written by God, preserved by God, endorsed by God, and accompanied by the power of God. There are other self-help books and interesting things, but God's Word, when we open it, we hear from God. In that same prophet, Isaiah, the Scripture says, My thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, if his thoughts are different than mine, then who needs to change? I do. So I need to be reading his thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So many people say, I just can't understand what God is doing. Well, spend more time in the Bible where He writes it down. His ways are higher than ours, but as we read His Word, we can understand more. It says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We've witnessed that this past week, right? A lot of rain has caused the grass to grow. And I get home and I say, man, nobody cut my grass for me while I was gone, you know? It always has results. So does the Word of God. Is that by accident? No, it's because it's ordained that way and God accompanies it with His power. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word must be magnified. And the local church is to proclaim and study the word of God. The majority of the New Testament is written to whom? Churches. That's right. It was written to local New Testament churches. The book of Romans was written to the church at Rome. The book of Corinthians, both of them, to the church at Corinth. Thessalonians, to the church at Thessalonica. Galatians was written to the churches in the provinces of Asia. Ephesians, Colossians, Revelations was written to the letter to the seven churches. And so it is written to the church, Christian. And God intends for His church to feed His people His word. Hold your place there in Luke, and I want you to look over to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what it says beginning in verse 8. Talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ as it pertains to Him commissioning us for service. Now, this is not the Great Commission, but it's a commission in that He gave us some things to continue our spiritual growth, namely the ministry of the Word and the Word of God itself. It says, "Wherefore He saith," Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, "when He," that is Jesus Christ, "ascended up on high," that's when He went after the crucifixion, He went up on high, "He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, each believer," every believer, "possesses at least one spiritual gift." We'll talk about this in a minute. Look down at verse 11. "These are some of the spiritual gifts that He gave. These spiritual gifts are for the purpose of public ministry. He gave some apostles and some prophets." We're reading from one of the prophets earlier in Isaiah. "And some evangelists." Now, I know some evangelists. "And some pastors." I am a pastor. "And teachers." Those are spiritual gifts for the purpose of public ministry, declaring the word of God. Coming on, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Edification takes place how? As you receive truth and are built up in the truth. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." How does unity happen, Pastor? Does it happen as we say, "Well, you know what? This truth is dividing us. Doctrine divides, but love unites. So let's get rid of the doctrine and we'll just focus on love." Is that how unity happens? No, unity happens in an army when you have the same marching orders. The level of unity that we have is determined by our unity with the truth. And as you agree with the truth more and I agree with the truth more, hopefully we agree with each other more. "We come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," that's spiritual maturity, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." There's a lot of nonsense doctrine out there. So how do I discern what's true and what's false? The Word of God. Knowing more of the Word of God. Knowing the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It says, "every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ." How do I become more like Christ? More of His Word in you. The local church is to proclaim and to study the Word of God. And listen, the Word of God is sufficient. It is what we need as His church. It should be the thing which is foremost in this place. The Bible is sufficient. We don't need another authority. We have no other authority. The Bible has a divine source. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word doesn't mean that the authors one night couldn't sleep and so they got up and said, "I just feel like I should write." That word inspiration in 2 Timothy chapter 3 means God breathed. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, when I speak from my experiences, I speak from my authority. If you have education and you speak from your education, you speak from other men's authority. But if you're speaking from the Word of God, you're speaking from God's authority. By the way, how old do you have to be to use the Word of God? David said, "I understand more than the ancients because I love thy law." He wasn't being prideful. He was saying that if you're agreeing with the Word of God, doesn't matter how old you are, it's the truth. And this divine book has value. It's given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. For what, Pastor? Well, for doctrine, that's teaching. For reproof, That's telling you what's wrong for correction, how to get right, and instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. That the man of God, the believer, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is sufficient, but we need a balanced diet of the word of God. 1 Peter puts it this way. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need the word of God, but we need a balanced diet. Just as a baby growing up needs a balanced diet, the older they get, they'll eat whatever you let them, you know. They quit nursing and they figure out, oh, I can just eat Cheetos and gummy worms. They'd do that. My kids would do that. Every week without fail, we go to the grocery store. My wife goes to the grocery store. Okay. I delegate that. And then I complain about it. That's the way it's supposed to happen. No, I'm just kidding. She goes to the grocery store and we get some treats for the kids, you know, we get these little disgusting yogurts and some little snacks for them, cookies. And you know what? If we're not careful, they won't ration that stuff. They eat it all in like 1 to 2 days. Can I have a cookie? Every 5 minutes. Can I have a cookie? And they're clever. They'll come to one parent or the other and they'll ask me, you know, it's gone. They'll eat whatever. You have to train a child to have a balanced diet. And you know what? Spiritually, we need a balanced diet from cover to cover. This is God's word. And every part of the Bible has a different aspect, a different part of training, reinforcement. We need a balanced diet, but we also need a unified source of truth, a unified source. You know, one reason why many believers hesitate in growth or fail to grow as they should is that they shun the consistent teaching of God's word from a unified source. We need to sit under the teaching of God's word from a unified source so that things fit together and make sense. There's many untrustworthy sources of teaching. You can turn on the television and hear them, and they're all over the place. You can read books from every different perspective. Theologians, writers, television folks, and many of them are wrong doctrinally. They twist the word of God for profit or for preference. Do you know that too many opinions can bring confusion? Absolutely. One of the most confusing things is listening to too many opinions at one time. I get confused if there's too much noise in the room at one time. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. But my wife will turn on music and I'll come in the room. I say, can you turn off that racket? It's confusing in here. I sound like an old man. But you know what? Too many opinions without you taking the word of God and studying it yourself results in confusions. Who do I follow? Well, open this and allow the Holy Spirit that indwells you to study, to speak to you. Many times believers are like people with a bad prognosis at the doctor. They don't want to accept what they heard, so they go and shop around for different, you know, let's see if I can go to another doctor. I don't like what this one told me. He told me I need to eat right, exercise, and quit doing this, and it'll help me live better. I don't like that, okay? I want somebody over here, so we just shop around. You know the Bible warns against that? Listen to this scripture from Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. How many? We love to hear the exhortation. I don't like to be rebuked or reproved. And so people say, wow, they're reproving over here. They're rebuking over there. They're so judgmental. I'm going to go here because I feel better about it. He says to Timothy, do it with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own desires, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I don't want to be reproved. I just want to feel better. Can't I just come to church on Sunday morning and feel better? You know, is that such a hard thing to ask? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. The word of God is sufficient. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. But you know what? Doctrine? Doctrine's boring. Tell me a funny story, preacher. Don't give me boring doctrine. So I know all these stories and all these anecdotes, but I don't know, thus saith the Lord. I don't know how to defend what I believe from the word of God. Reproof is offensive. Don't tell me what's wrong. That's your opinion. And correction is legalistic. Well, you're pretty small-minded. Instruction in righteousness? That's old-fashioned. See, I'm fine with you preaching about love and about Jesus and other people's sins, but when you start to preach about my sin, my change, something I don't agree with, and so the Word of God has kind of been shoved aside. But see, God's plan is that we take in His Word on a regular basis, a balanced diet, a unified source of truth, so that we may be changed as God desires. God's Word is what we need. Think about the world today that we live in. I compare it with what the Word of God says in 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Where is that? Well, it's through the knowledge of Him that called you unto glory and virtue. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are yours through a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and a closer walk in His Word. See, in a world of uncertainty, we need a trustworthy message. In a world of lies, we need the truth. In a world of discouragement, we need true encouragement to continue, not just a pat on the back, but sometimes a swift kick. That's what I need sometimes. In a world with no direction, we need guidance. In a world of darkness, we need the light of God's Word. See, church attendance is not to make God happy. It's to help us because we desperately need it. To help us grow. And by God's grace, God's Word will have a priority at Independent. See, the church is the place of God's Word, but secondly, the church is the place of God's people. It's a place of God's people. Now, we read this already from Hebrews. It's our memory verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Many people who reject church, you know what they do? They do it because of other people who also attend church or don't. They hurt me. They are hypocrites. The preacher didn't shake my hand. They don't want to serve God, so I'm not going to go to church. Other people aren't doing right, so I won't go to church. Does that really make sense? I mean, think about it. You're there in Luke. Okay, turn back to Luke. I want you to see this. This is common. It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. I have a warped sense of humor. Okay, verse 20. He closed the book, Luke 4, verse 20. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, can you imagine that? If I'm up here reading and then it's somebody else's turn, and I go and sit down and nobody looks at the person behind the pulpit. They can't believe what I just did. What did he just, and everybody's looking at me. And I go, oh yeah, by the way, I have something else to add. Jesus did that. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which he proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? We know this guy. You know, this is, we saw him grow up. This is little Jesus. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do there also in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet's accepted in his own country. He knew they were looking down on him and rejecting the truth because of their preconceived ideas. But I tell you a truth, that many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto a Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto the woman that was a widow. What he's doing, he's rebuking their lack of faith. They thought they were better than everybody else because they were Israelites and Jews. And he says, you don't have faith. And he says it was the same way in the Old Testament. They didn't have faith, but this woman did. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Well, they liked his gracious words. They didn't like his reproof. All day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. I've never had this happen in church before. You know, I preach a bad message and the church gets upset and tries to throw me out in traffic, you know. No, that's never happened. So what did Jesus do? Well, he passing through the midst of them went his way. Good, he got away. What did he do later? I'm not going back to church. Those people are terrible. No, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Back in church. See, forsaking church because of disobedient Christians is like giving up your gym membership because people that are out of shape are there. You know, I go to the YMCA and I'm working out, and these people here, I saw a guy there. I have seen this before. Somebody sitting on the machine, not working out, just relaxing and on his smartphone, taking up space, not doing it right. He's not doing it right, so I'm not coming back here. I don't go there for him. I go there for me, for personal benefit. See, Hebrews tells us this. I'm going to turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. God's people are there, and I go there for a reason. I go there for the influence of God's people, yes. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Maybe those disobedient Christians that annoy you just need to be encouraged and loved. The truth is, we are influenced. God expects us to receive influence and be an influence. And we are influenced by the things that we bring into our life. In fact, whatever or whoever has the greatest input will be the greatest influence. Think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What makes the difference in that man's life? It's the influences that he embraces and the influences that he avoids. See, if you weren't here, where would you be? If you weren't with God's people, who would you be with? If you weren't listening to God's word, what would you be listening to? Well, it wouldn't be sinful, Pastor. No, but would it help you spiritually? Will it make you more like Christ? For the influence of God's people and for the fellowship of God's people. Consider this. Ephesians 2 says, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You've been changed. As children of God, you've been given life from the dead. You're partakers of the Holy Spirit. And the more like Christ you become, the less like the world you will be. Take your Bible and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The entire basis of fellowship that we have in church is on commonality. That which we have in common. We are to be here for the influence of God's people, for the fellowship of God's people. The more we emphasize what we have in common, life in Christ, the truth of God's word, the more our petty differences and annoyances fade away. Look at chapter 6, verse 14. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Doesn't have any. What communion hath light with darkness? Doesn't have any. You turn on the light, the darkness is gone. They can't coexist. What concord hath Christ with Belial? That's a demon. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Do you realize that the word church, every time the word church appears in your New Testament, it's translated from the word that means a called out assembly. The church is an assembly of God's people, a called out assembly, not called out with the world or to be like the world, but from the world, to worship God together, to study his word, to be more like him together. Come out from among them. That's the idea. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. To give ourselves to the fellowship of God's people and to the exhortation of God's people. Do you realize that God wants you here not just to be influenced, but to be an influence? Yes. To exhort one another. Yes. See, the world is growing worse. The closer we reach to the return of Christ, the scripture says that society and human tendency will be more and more secular, worse and worse, more and more needing a light in the darkness. God's people are in more danger of being influenced by the world. You know what God's people need sometimes? Some positive peer pressure. And not just from the preacher, but from every part of the body. We need more and more encouragement. And so when you come, seek to influence somebody. Show up, speak to somebody, encourage them. A scripture verse, a prayer request. You exhort for the exhortation. Strong churches make strong families. Seek someone out to connect with them. The place of God's people, and finally the place of God's work. Jesus was there because it was the place of God's word, the place of God's people. Did the God's people always do right? No, they tried to kill him. Okay? I don't know if those people were God's people, but I know that the church in Corinth was, and they did some pretty rotten stuff. But God didn't throw them away. He chastised them. And it's the place of God's work. Do you realize that Christ endorsed the work of his church? He spoke to the apostles and he says, On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He endorsed the work of his church, and he commissioned his church to reach the world. You know who it is that's called to reach the world, Christian? Church. Yes. He was speaking to the apostles, and he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. I have the power and the authority, therefore I deputize you. Go ye therefore and baptize and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Believers are to attach themselves to the local assembly as the representative body of Christ in the area. The church is responsible for impacting the world. It is the body of Christ. Listen to these scripture verses. It says in the book of Ephesians, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything," the church and Christ, "for we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Scripture says in the book of Romans, "We being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another." Christ is no longer here in bodily form, but he's left us behind as his church to do his work. We are the body of Christ. God has gifted every believer with a unique ability corresponding to your role in the church. We talked about spiritual giftedness. Do you realize that just as a body has different parts, so too does a church? Not everyone's gifted in the same area. Not everyone can be the piano player, the song leader, or the pastor. Not everyone's gifted in hospitality or in encouragement and words of wisdom. Not everyone's gifted in mercy or in faith or in giving. Each one of you has a specific role. And friend, when you're here plugged in, the church is stronger. A church with missing members is like a body with missing members. If you lose enough, what happens? You're disabled. I can lose a finger and still continue to function perfectly well. If I lose a hand, it limits me. An arm, a leg. You've known some people that have lost body parts or functions to their body, and you know what? It holds us back from our potential, and so too does it the church. Can I tell you this, friend? The local church is the headquarters through which God calls his people to serve him. God expects you to represent him in the world and to serve him in your local church. So, as we draw to a close, I want to tell you this. My goal as a pastor for Independent is to build a church full of people that are here because they love God and they love his word. If you come out of a love for God and a love for his word, a hunger for his word, if that is your focus and your goal, it'll be hard to deter you from faithfulness. I want to have more programs as our church grows. I want to have, as our resources grow and our abilities grow. But at its core, the fundamental that I want us to come for is a hunger for God's word and a love and a desire to serve God and influence his people. And if you come that way, you'll never be disappointed. Three questions and we'll close. Why do you come to church? Is it the word of God? Do you come with a hunger? "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," Matthew 5 says. Is it with a love for the word of God? Is your Bible open? Do you seek to take it in, to be taught? By the way, even if it's a lousy message, if you open your Bible and read from it, God can speak to you. Okay? Let's hope it's not a lousy message. Do you come because of the people of God? A desire to be a blessing, to speak exhortation? Do you come because of the work of God? A desire to serve and to fill a spot in the body of Christ? I pray that we do. We can. And praise God, the church will continue to grow and represent Him. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we're not just going through the motions. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. Pray that You would move in our hearts. I do thank You for each one present. I know there's some here today, dear Lord, that are not well, could not make our meeting today. I pray that You'd be with them. Others on vacation and different things preventing them. And Lord, our heart goes out to them. Draw them closer to Yourself. Bring them back again to this number that we may fellowship and continue to grow stronger in You. Well, thank You for those things in Your name, I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? During our invitation, if God...